This is Adrian from Rusted Satellite, and on the line I have Canberra-based solo artist, Hello Square label founder, and member of Agency, Spartak and Tangents, Shobe Ahmad. How are you, Shobe?
Yeah, good, thank you, Adrian. How are you?
Reasonably well.
Good.
You recently launched your single Masked from your forthcoming album Quiver in Canberra, and this was performed with a band of five other musicians, and the lead up to it was a bit of a unique scenario where you had what you called a rehearsal residency. Can you tell us a little bit about this process?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, with the solo music, as you said before, I play in a lot of different bands and of varying different styles, and my solo music's kind of been just, I guess, under the radar for a while, and just circumstantial as well as not wanting to really concentrate on it and that kind of thing. But I finished up this album Quiver like earlier on this year, and Masked is the first single, and the music itself is very different to what I've done previously. So not a lot of electronics, barely anything, to be honest, and a lot of kind of, I guess, organic song structures, still kind of married to my distinct, you know, melancholy melodic sensibility. But yeah, just a lot of organic structures, and there was a lot of like different instruments that I wanted to be able to use live, but obviously I can't play them all, and I wasn't really interested in going into laptop territory for the live performance. So I put together a crack band of like five others, and we were lucky to be supported by a venue here in Canberra who allowed us to use the space we were going to launch the single in to, as a rehearsal space for a solid like 3 days, solid 3 days before the launch itself. And it was really good to have that time to actually rehearse with everyone and kind of go through the arrangements. And as you know, as a lot of people will realise, that when you do have the time to focus on like music and using that time wisely, you end up really kind of getting to the, you know, to getting through nuts and bolts of things like arrangements, but also there's space to find new interesting ways to deliver the songs as well. And so it was a pretty cool experience just even going down that path, and yeah, it's been really good. And then we took the band on the road to Melbourne a few weeks back and Sydney last week, and we're up for Sonic Masala Fest this weekend.
And that's with the whole band as well?
Yeah, well, we're missing one member. So we're going down from three guitars to two guitars. So, you know, it's still going to be pretty lush.
And so I guess it was a bit of a like a band camp or something like that.
Absolutely had a band camp. a lot of stories, a lot of like structured time and a lot of free time and a lot of good old-fashioned lunch times.
And was that the first time a lot of you had played together?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. Like, I had obviously played with everyone in different configurations, and some of the musicians had played with maybe one other musician in the band, like, in a different circumstance, be it, like, maybe a more jazz-oriented kind of background, or, like, improvised music, or, yeah, just kind of indie pop stuff. But as a band together, no one had played together, and my songs are quite distinct, and we've been calling them as kind of like pop music because it was pretty wonky. A lot of the grooves are quite strange, and so there was not only that thing about having to learn about people's dynamics and how they are as musicians, but also, yeah, the navigating the group dynamic through this meeting process as well. It was pretty cool. It was really good, and everyone's like really chill and has a good energy, a good vibe. So I'm pretty happy with how it's all going, and everyone's pretty stoked to be on the road.
And what was it like to not have the electronic side of things in there so much?
It's pretty exposing. I mean, the music itself, the music and the words are very personal and very close to me. They obviously talk about a particular period of my life and then also where I'm at now. And I realised, for me especially, that a lot of the electronic stuff, especially in the songs side of things, when I've been writing, has been almost like masking my own personality on stage. And that was actually one of the other things in and around having a big band there. So I didn't have to play an instrument, which leaves me quite exposed on stage.
Hmm.
But then also, like, does allow me to actually properly convey what my messages are, what my stories are. And, yeah, not having the electronics there, it's been really different, really interesting, really different, and I'm really happy I've decided to take that direction, or rather go through with taking that direction, because it just opens up a lot of different sonic capabilities that, you know, I might have taken for granted while using electronics.
One of the main themes explored in the forthcoming album, Quiver, is gender identity. And as you mentioned just before, and in your rehearsal diary as well, leading up to the launch, you mentioned you were getting ready for the most exposed moment of your life. After years of musical output, what enabled you to explore this very personal and vulnerable side to songwriting?
Well, I guess, becoming comfortable with my gender identity. I won't deny, I see a lot of other trans people having way harder struggle than myself, and someone who's coming out and identifying as a trans woman, I feel pretty lucky that I've been able to, you know, come out and say this is who I am and not really get any shtick or have to deal with any hardships. And so that side of things is quite easy for me, but as a personal struggle, it's been something that I've dealt with for a number of years. And I guess after last year, it was after an agency tour that started off with Sonic Masala last year, I experienced a robbery from my hotel room, which I believe happened in and around my I was targeted because of my presentation as a woman, and that kind of allowed me to look at a few different, I say allowed, it was more like therapeutic to reflect on what my circumstances were in terms of personal self and how I was dealing with that. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, having spent a long time, you know, my whole musical artistic career presenting as a male person, and then, you know, nothing's changed on that front as an artist or as a musician or whatever, as a label, you know, owner or whatever. Nothing on that perspective has changed. It's just my outward appearance and being able to be who I am, I guess, freely. So I don't want it to be a major impact on that side of things. I don't want people to look at my music differently because of that, but certainly the themes informs the lyrical matter, and it really kind of all comes together on this music, which I guess is about, I say exposed because, you know, I'm taking away everything, but like everything I've been hiding behind, be it lyrically or be it as an instrumentalist, so like being there as a singer or as a vocalist. And yeah, it's pretty nerve-wracking, but I think it's something I need to do, and I'm happy I can do it. I'm happy I'm being supported while I do it.
And how have you found the response since the release of the single?
It's been super positive. Like I said, like everyone around me is a supportive person. They're supportive people, and I guess we're lucky that we're in a particular area, part, section of life, society that is very accepting and only says, hey, you know, doesn't matter to me, you be who you are and who you want to be, and, you know, just keep on going with what you're doing. Doesn't matter. So I can only say that I'm super lucky, and I'm really stoked at people's, you know, support and warmth as I go out there as a performer and, you know, musically not change direction, but also, you know, just show another side of my musical personality. Judge me for all you can see.
well as being the drummer in the live band, Luke Keenan Brown has also played a significant part in the making of the album. What was the process behind making the record?
The album really started off because I'd started recording like a lot of the guitar parts and so forth just at the home, in the home studio. Luke kind of came down from Sydney for a long session where he laid down a lot of drums, and there's a couple of tracks where my Tangents and Spartak bandmate Evan Dorian plays drums as well, and they kind of came down and really did a lot of things in one go, which is really cool. And we kind of kept it fresh, much like a lot of those older improv recordings. We didn't spend a lot of time trying to nuance the grooves. We thought we wanted to keep it groovy, we wanted to keep it loose. And, you know, we can do things like, you know, cut things up if we need to and add them in. But, yeah, Luke was a great sounding board and has been, like, the whole time we've been working on the music in the studio, and also now going into the live, going onto the stage as well. Hannah DeFader, who plays viola, came into the studio quite a bit and did a lot of the string parts. And the good thing about the live band is everyone who's playing with me live has a part to play on the album, mm-hmm. So there's a sense of ownership around the music, not just from myself but from them as well. And apart from the support, I think they all feel something for the music as well, which is really great.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just been, it's been really good. It's been really good being able to work with like a core group of people during the recording process, but also, yeah, going onto stage as well.
You've also fairly recently released a single, Maze Crescent, with your band Tangents, out through Temporary Residence. There seems to be a common theme of your projects where you tease us with a single way, way in advance of the album coming out. Do you have any rough timelines when we might be able to hear more Tangents or more of your solo music?
Absolutely. Well, so that Maze Crescent single is kind of, it's a nice one because it kind of finishes off the music from the last album, Stateless. But Maze Crescent on the album's done is a two-part track, so it's two tracks, whereas we got to put it together finally, and there's a beautiful long-form video from Scott Morrison, who does a lot of work with Room 40 and Australian Art Orchestra, amongst other things. So that's really nice. Oh, there's great remixes from Marcus Whale and Kane Eichen too, so it's a really great, solid single. And so there should be new Tangents early on in the new year. So I can only say keep an eye out for things over the next 6 months, because we'll be dropping a few things that will really, we're pretty excited to get out into the world. And then at the same time, I should be releasing another single later on this year before Christmas as well. And yeah, again, another taster from the album before that comes out next year too.
All right, look forward to that. You're also still very active with your label, Hello Square. Must be over 10 years now that you've been doing that.
I think it's 10
or more, probably.
11 something years. I mean, we've known each other for quite a long time, so.
Yes. As well as putting out releases from some great Canberra and interstate artists, you've also been bringing out some incredibly unique international bands to our shores. Most recently, we had the pleasure of seeing a duo from Singapore. How did you come across such obscure and wonderfully creative bands like this, and how do you convince them to travel here and play $5 shows at bowls clubs?
Yeah, well, R are such a unique, as you said, just absolutely unique duo. they're so exciting because they're super young and they're really interested in getting out of Singapore. So I didn't have to convince them because they wanted to come to Australia.
Oh, great.
And they just wanted a little bit of help from me, and I was very excited that they were excited to just come on a rambling tour holiday and just play what comes their way. They actually supported an agency on the tour that we did after Sonic Masala in Singapore, and that just kind of ties into why I love playing music and playing shows and travelling with music, because it means you come across just some really amazing and bizarre things. I mean, when we played with them in Singapore, were like a two-piece psych pop duo, no electronics, just guitar and drums, almost like the Shags. And then in between then and now, they put out an album of like sound art noise. And then on this tour that they just did, they were like some sort of outsider electronic synth pop duo, which again just kind of just rambled its way through the set, but with a lot of fun and energy. And
lots of
it's
energy.
Just amazing. It's just amazing performance art, if nothing else. They're lovely, sweet people, and then they're also insane on stage in their own unique way. So I was really happy that we could even present that in Australia and that people were up for putting them on. We played some pretty distinct, like each of the venues were very distinct in Australia for them. And that's just what it's about with Hello Square. It's not about trying to make money, because heaven knows we're ever going to do that. But certainly just putting out interesting music, like the last release of ours, the 7-inch from Ben Marston and Simon Lovgren, was just, I was so stoked to be able to do that, because Ben's, again, a lovely, sweet guy, but he's also, he's a really great jazz musician from Canberra and has been in that world for a long time, and it was really great to support him as he moved into a different sonic territory. And a stylistic territory, and really kind of help him out with that and just say, hey, dude, you know, I've got your back, you know, you just do what you want to do. And him even just being able to, like, come up to Brisbane for that same show and play other places and just kind of, you know that someone's there with him as he kind of goes out of his comfort zone. That's what it's about. I'm totally always going to be about that with Hello Square and what we do.
And I looked it up, and the last time I interviewed you was actually in 2008 when Spartak were about to play Open Frame. It's probably been too long between interviews.
Wow, I can't believe it.
How have things changed in the last decade for the label, for your musical output, and where do you see things going for the next decade?
Look, it's funny you ask that. I think the landscape's totally changed beyond, you know, what I thought it would. I thought it'd be like a really slow natural evolution, but it's kind of just gone warp speed. I mean, I can't believe we haven't spoken between now and 2008.
Well, not via the radio, that is.
Not on radio, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And I remember, you know, when we first started talking prior to I imagine that was the Spartak album. And so I feel like back then, you know, I was mailing records out to people in the mail and sending them, sending you all like press sheets and saying, hey, let's do this, can we do that, let's see what we can do. And it was all very physical matter, whereas now it's all online, and, you know, it's all very, it's still, I mean, if anything, it is easier, but it's also the scope of like how people find out about music's changed completely. And, you know, I find that obviously I've gotten older, and I obviously view things in a very particular way, and what comes onto my periphery is really not the whole picture anymore. So then as a label owner or as a musician, how do you get the music you make, the music you release, onto people's periphery without quite knowing, you know, the media landscape is quite insane. Just to even to contemplate it, and then you start going into the world of like having publicists and, you know, people who actually do know what's going on, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. If they're on top of it, it's a really great thing. So, you know, just even thinking about that stuff's changed for me. But I also think, you know, I want to stay on the road. I want to make sure I can play my music live for people, and people will connect with me as a musician and artist that way, because they'll come across me in a performance, or they'll read about it and somehow they'll want to come, rather than like sitting in their bedroom tracking me down online. So it's, you know, I can only hope for the next decade that live music stays the same. Otherwise I might just be a, you know, a parent there might not be any musical career. I might just become a parent because I don't know really how to access anything anymore.
Well, we definitely hope that the label and the band and everything that you do continues on for the next 10 years at least. Thank you very much for giving us your time today. And we do look forward to the upcoming shows in Brisbane at Sonic Masala Fest and also at Sonic Sherpa, I believe.
Yeah, on Sunday, which is going to just be me solo and solo guitar and vocals and maybe one guest, one mystery guest.
We look forward to that, and thanks again for your time.
No worries. Thank you, Adrian. ¶¶